So I believe now we're coming to the close of this chapter of Bhajan Rahasyam. This is Panchamayam Sarana, which is the elaboration on the fifth verse of Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam. Ayananda Tanachakin Karam Patitam Ma Mishmeva Vambado Kripiya Tavapada Pankaja Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintaya. And this chapter, the majority of the verses, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving an elaboration, or illumination rather, on basically one word of the verse, Ayi Nanda Tanaja Kinkaram. What is Kinkaram? What is the meaning of Kinkaram? And what is the fullest extent of Kinkar? Kinkar means servant. The mood of a servant, the submission, the humility of a servant, and how far does that concept go? It goes from the concept of das, to be a das of Krishna, and it goes further and more deeper to the concept of being a dasi, a female servant, a male servant of Krishna, then a female servant of Krishna. Then it becomes even more intimate, where a dasi means a dasi of Radharani. And he started discussing all about Radhadasyam. And he's basically indicating that compressed in this fifth verse of Shikshastakam is the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is Radhadasyam, the service of the lotus feet of Radharani. And that this verse is a prayer to attain the service of the lotus feet of Radharani. Radharani herself is praying in this verse, O Nanda Nanda, I'm your kinkar. Please, don't allow me to remain burning in this ocean of poison. I'm burning in this ocean of poison and separation from you. You have gone to Mathura. You've gone to Dwarka. Vishaya. Vishame bhavambudo. This means vish, means poison. I am burning in ocean of poison and separation from you. Viraha agni. Fire of separation. Viraha. And it's so painful. I can't bear it. Can't you come back and at least show your feet to me? And pick me up and put me on your feet. I'm not asking. I don't want anything more. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Keep me fixed as a duli, a particle of dust on your feet. That's enough. That's all the salary I ask for. That's all the wage I ask for. That's sufficient for me. So Radharani is praying here, intense separation. Give me, please come back, Krishna. I'm burning as the ocean of poison. And give me some service. I'm just begging for service. After all, Ayananda Tanusha Kinkaram. I'm your kinkar. I'm your dasi. Have you forgotten? You can't keep me again? So this is Manjri Bhav. The Manjris are praying for service, but our line of service is drawn to the lotus feet of Radharani. We want to assist that Radharani who's burning in separation from Krishna. We want to assist her and render service to her. And this is the revelation and understanding of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is one of our Mahajanacharyas. He's saying Shikshastakam means this. Shikshastakam means the service of Radharani. And in this verse, one is praying to attain that Dasyabhav. So now there's only 22 verses in the chapter. We're at verse 19. And this particular verse is as the development is moving, because in this verse, Ayananda Tanacha Kinkaram, represents the devotional stage of asakti, Krishna asakti, attachment to Krishna. So attachment to Krishna, of course, intensifies as one develops more and more feelings for the Lord, as one becomes more and more absorbed in devotional service to Krishna as a person, the person Krishna, and the persona of Krishna becomes more and more self-evident in the heart of the devotee. Then his attachment deepens and deepens and deepens, and some sprinkles of bhava start to enter his heart. There's an overlapping. It's not that you go in one door and you're sitting in one room, it's called attachment or asakti. Then you close that door and open another door and you go into the room of bhava. No, they're intermingling. The stage of bhava is intermingling or intermixing, like two rivers mixing at the Sangam and Triveni. The Ganga mixes. You see, if you go to Triveni in Allahabad, there's the Ganga's coming there and Jamuna's coming there. The Jamuna is kind of dark bluish, and the Ganga is kind of lighter color, green. So at a certain point, the two colors and the two rivers mix and becomes a third color. So there's intermingling. So this, the river of Krishna-sakti meets with the river of Krishna-bhav and creates a color. So this intermingling happens as one increases his attachment to Krishna, then bhav starts to come. So there's even at the level of asakti, there's also bhav. So in this progression of his analysis of Ayinada Tanushakinkaram, he's bringing verses which are closer and closer, moving one closer and closer to bhav. As one does bhajan with these different verses, of course, if he's jatarati sadaka, then he's already at this level of rati anyway. But an ajatarati sadaka, like ourselves, who have not yet come to the stage of asakti, then by cultivating each one of these verses along with chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, and meditating deeply and praying to these verses, then our own attachment to the service of Radharani or the conception or the idea increases more and more. This is the idea. Until it gets to this very high level, these verses are progressing in intensity, progressing in deeper and deeper understandings of what does it mean to be a maidservant of Radharani? What does it mean to be Radharani's kinkari? Kinkari means maidservant or manjari, handmaiden. So he's giving deeper and deeper meanings of it. Because one's bhav, as he increases his asakti, one's bhav is increasing more and more. His love for Radharani, his affection for Radharani is increasing more and more. So in text 19 he quotes from Sri Gandharva Sampratana Ashtakam. And this is by Rupa Goswami. He says, this is a sincere prayer for Radhadasyam, for attaining the service of Radharani. So this is spoken by Rupa Goswami on behalf of the sadhakas that are following Rag Marg and interested in becoming a maidservant of Radharani and following Rupa Manjari and following Rupa Goswami and this particular Stai Bhav, Madhur Rati, Bhavalas Rati. Then in his own voice, Rupa Goswami's voice was choking with emotion. And he recited this verse. First it came from his heart. And in an ecstatic mood it came out of his mouth. And then he understood, or he included that in his collection of poems called Stavamala. Ha devi kakubara gadgara yadya vacha jache nipatya bhuvidandavat ubabharti Asya prasadam abodasya janasya kritva gandharvike nijagane gananam videhi. O Devi Gandharvika, this Radharani, today, in utter desperation, I throw myself on the ground like a stick. Filled with great distress, I implore you with a choked voice to be merciful to this fool and count me as one of your own. So these are similar prayers like this by the different Goswamis, especially Rupa and Rati. They're both saying the same things. They're both expressing the same emotions. They're both expressing the same degree of attachment and intensity of absorption in the service of Radharani in different books, one in Stavamala, one in Stavavali. And Stavavali and Vilap Kusumanjali, Raghunathas Swami is conveying the same idea. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, najivami tvaya vina, iti vigaya radhe chom nayamam charanantikam. He's saying, O Devi, O Radhika, O Srimati Radharani, I am yours, I am yours. I cannot live without you. Please understand this and take me to your lotus feet. Do not kick me away. Please take me and accept me as your eternal servant. This is all I want. This is all I need. This is all I beg for. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, najivami tvaya vina. So Rupa Goswami is saying the same thing in his Stavamala. In utter desperation, I throw myself on the ground like a stick. Ha Devi Kakubhara Garagara Yadya Vacha Dandavad Udbatarti Asya Prasarama Badasya Janasya Kritva Nijagan Gavanam Garanam Videhi. I implore you with a choked voice, be merciful to this fool and count me as one of your own. Nijagan, Radha Sakigan. Sakigan means your own group, your group, your Sakis. You're the Yuteshwari. You're the leader, the leader of all the Sakis. And I want to be in your group. I want to be counted in your group, Radha's group. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has put this verse into Bengali. Bhumi dandavattapadi bahu arti sware kakubare gadgada vachane jorakare pratana karigo deviye abhurajane tavagane gani kripa kara akinchane. I offer dandavats, bhume dandavattapadi. I offer dandavats on the earth, bahu arti sware. I fold my hands and plead with you with a choked voice. O Devi, this ignorant and helpless fool prays to you for your mercy to mercifully please accept me as one of your own. So this prayer by Rupa Goswami that we is being cited here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Stavamala is full of grief. He's praying, please accept me. Of course, this prayer is for us. It's certainly not for Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, one of the Ashtamanjaris of Radharani. Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, is a Kaya Vyuha of Radharani's own body. Kaya means body. Expansion of her own body. So her body, when her body expands, when Radharani's body expands, her body is made of nothing but Karuna and Mahabhav. So the expansion of Radharani's body is nothing but the expansion of her Mahabhav and her Karuna, her compassion and her intense ecstatic love for Krishna. So that intense ecstatic love for Krishna which Radharani is made of, and that intense unlimited compassion or Karuna which Radharani is made of takes the form that's called Shri, takes the form of Shri Rupa Manjari. Rupa means form. So Rupa means the form, and Shri means Radharani. So the form of Radharani's Mahabhav, the form of Radharani's Karuna, has appeared as Shri Rupa Manjari. And that same Shri Rupa Manjari has entered Gaurlila as Shri Rupa Goswami. So he is carrying the Mahabhav and the Karuna of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Swapadantika. So he is praying these prayers in Stavamala and Upadeshamrita and his books like Ujvala Nilamani and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. All of these books and stavas and stutis and prayers of Rupa Goswami are not for him, they're for us. Like the cow. The cow produces milk. Is the milk for the cow? Cow produces, a big cow and a western cow, a Guernsey cow, produces 20 liters of milk. Does the cow drink the milk? No. But such milk in Ayurveda, milk is called amrit, nectar. It gives life to children, babies, everyone, old men, everybody is living on milk and sustained by milk. It is nectar, amrit. But the cow doesn't drink a drop. The milk is meant for others. The amrit is meant for others. So similarly, the amrit of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This amrit of this Bhakti Granth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, to compile Bhakti Granth. And these Bhakti Granth, these are full of amrit, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, amrit. And that nectar, Rupa Goswami is not drinking that nectar. He's distributing that nectar. The cow is not drinking the milk. She is distributing the milk. For whom? For those that need nourishment. or the human being. So for the bhaktas, we need the nourishment. So he is giving these prayers for us. We should be full of grief. We should be desperate. Now we're full of grief if we don't get our sense gratification. And we're very desperate for sense gratification. Where's the pleasure? Where's the enjoyment? Where's the money? Rupa Goswami is trying to realign our thinking, realign our desiring by such intensely emotional prayers. And these prayers are drenched in the karuna of Radharani. What to speak on a higher level when one is a jata rati sadaka, he can experience some of the drops of the Mahabhava of Radharani in such slokas as this. That's why the Bhajan Rahasyam is a book of bhajan for both the realized soul and the aspiring soul. Realized soul read verses like this and relish the bhavas, vibhava, lamban bhav, anubhavs of this verse by becoming tanmoy with Radharani in his siddhadeha and feeling this utter desperation and maybe crying, and his own voice will choke up. When he reads this, where his voice will choke up as Rupa Goswami's voice. My voice is choking. Ha, Devi. Ha, Radharani. Ha, ha. Oh, please. I'm desperate. Without your service, I am dying. Without your mercy, I'm crying. Please lift me up. Help me. So for us, we read it and say, oh, yeah. That's nice. Nice voice. Ha, Devi. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. But something happens, like when you take a paintbrush and if you dip it in water, and then, or say you dip it in water and you paint it on the wall. Then you paint, some water comes off the brush and coats the wall. And then the air dries out the water, then you don't see anything. But if you dip the paintbrush in some milk, and you paint the milk on the wall, then when it dries out, it leaves some film, some light film. There's some residue of the milk. You dip the brush on the wall and you see some streak or some line of milk on the wall, on the cement wall. Diwar. It's noticeable. And then if you do again and again, it becomes a little thicker. Or maybe you dip in something thicker. So this, by reading these prayers and reciting these prayers, the heart becomes coated. The heart becomes painted. This is the development of rag. Rag means color. Rag means attachment. The heart becomes colored. It becomes brushed with some of these feelings. These are, create some sanskar in the heart. Such moods, such mellows, such hankering, such utkantita. Such utkantita bhav. This is utkantita bhav. Intense hankering for this type of mood, this type of seva. So we read once, we read twice, and depending on how we read, how we pray, and what our approach is, that's how much our heart becomes coated. That's how much this bhakti sanskara becomes deep in our consciousness. And then it can have some effect. And it's transformational. One starts actually, he doesn't understand, what's happening to me? Something's happening to me. I've been reading these verses over and over again. And now I'm starting, actually, I really feel like this. I'm starting to feel like this. I'm starting to want the same thing and to hanker for the same thing. What has happened to me? I've become brainwashed. I've become transformed. I've become influenced by this association, this bad association of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari by reading their prayers over and over again. This is the intention. This is the desired result. This is the intention of the author. Transformation. Rupa Goswami wants us to become his anuga. He wants us to become Rupa Anuga. He wants us to become a follower of him. He wants us to become like him. He wants to enlist us in his service. And Rupa Manjari wants to enlist us in her service. So this is the jadu. This is the magic. This is the hypnotic trick, that we read these verses over and over, we pray, we aspire, it changes the content of our desire. and it changes the direction of our mind, and it changes the feelings of our heart. Now our hearts, our minds and hearts are full of bhog samskaras. So we're desiring bhog, and we're thinking bhog, and we're feeling for bhog, enjoyment, material enjoyment, because of lifetimes and lifetimes of practice and experience. So the whole substratum of our chitta is full of enjoyment. So how to change that? How to reform that? So these are the secrets of bhajan. These are powerful things. And most people, what's that? Where are we? Hare Krishna. Confirmed by the beeping of the cell phone. So in this verse, Rupa Goswami, of course, is revealing an intense, not only grief, the grief of his heart, but a very deep feeling of humility that I'm begging you, I have nothing from my side, no qualification to attain your service. It's only if you bestow it upon me, if you grant it to me, if you feel so kind to give it to me, then I can receive it. Otherwise, there's no hope. Therefore, the commentator is saying there's no great difference between humility and prema. And he quotes Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In the fully mature stage of the highest type of Krishna prema, humility naturally arises. They go hand in hand. Pure love of God and humility, they go hand in hand. They're inseparable. If you have fire, if there's fire, there must be heat. You can't separate heat from fire. So if there's Krishna prema, then there's humility. Similarly, when humility matures, prema develops. Let's say devotional humility. So there's a cause and effect relationship. So this phrase in this verse, kaku bara gangara adya vacha, indicates melting of the heart, which is the external symptom of prema. The word ha devi, ha kaku, as you say. Ha devi kaku bara. This word ha indicates this utkantita. Utkanta, longing, expresses longing. And of course the voice is choked up. Indicates that his prayer is filled with humility. He's crying in humility. Because their longing is so intense, the Braja Devis, the gopis, are able to reject their family members and the rules and regulations of society. Due to an abundant possessiveness, which is called mamata, mindness, the gopis of Vrindavan, the damsels of Braj, they have so much mood of possession that Krishna is mine, that Krishna is my everything. Because of this possessiveness, they can cross all obstacles and impediments. Sri Krishna, he's controlled by this mood of mamata, which is filled with longing, and he considers himself always indebted to the Braja Gopis. So this Devi Gandharvike, he's saying, oh Radharani, you're a Devi, you're the goddess, you're the Swamini, you're my object of seva, object of my prayer, but you're also Gandharvike. Gandharvike in one sense means someone who has natural fragrance, Ganda. Their body is very fragrant, Sugandhi. But Gandharvike also means that they're great singers or dancers, like a Gandharva. But they also, this saying that Gandharvika refers to Radharani, she is a whole jewel mine of sweetness, beauty. And she's very expert in executing captivating dancing, singing, and playing musical instruments, and performing other charming arts. And by all these activities, Radharani's Gandharvike. Why is she Gandharvike? By exhibiting all these kala, all these arts, artful dancing, artful singing, musical playing, she's able to completely captivate the mind of Krishna. So this indicates the power of Radharani, how much power Radharani has. the power of her talents, the power of her talents, the power of her beauty, the power of her love. She's able to captivate and control Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. It's called Vasibhut. Vasibhut means that Krishna is Vasibhut. Vasibhut means he's controlled. Krishna's controlled by Radharani's love. So this Rati, which this whole section is about, Asakti, attachment, this nature of Krishna Asakti, which is this very high stage of development in devotional service, there's Anartha Nivritti, then Nishta, then Ruchi, then Asakti, then Bhava, then Prema. So this state of Krishna Asakti, it has two characteristics, longing and humility. This word Kadanu, Kadanu, Kadanu. Everywhere you see in the prayers, when, in Prarthana, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, everywhere, the acharyas are always, they're creating this mood in us. They're always using this, when, pronoun, whatever it is. They're always saying when, to create this mood of utkanta. Utkanta means extending the neck. Utamkanta. The neck is when will I find it? Where is my friend? When? Utkanta. Utkanta means longing, eagerness. When will I attain your service? When will I massage your feet? When will I see you in the groves of Vrindavan? When will I bathe Govardhan with the tears of love flowing from my eyes? When will I roll in the Rasastali? When will I see the Vamshivat, where the sight of the Rasa dance? And when will I roll on the ground and moisten the ground with my tears? All these prayers of Narottam. When? So this is the mood of Asakti, Krishna Asakti. There's so much longing. And with that longing, with that intense yearning and longing, then there's so much humility. When will this happen? I don't know. Probably never. I'm so fallen. I'm so worthless. I'm so wretched. So then humility. And this attachment, rati, this level, which is filled with longing and humility, is the wealth of the Raganuga Sadaka, Ragmarg Sadaka. Sanatana Goswami defines humility as follows. What is humility? In spite of possessing all good qualities, one who considers himself, he has all good qualities. It's not like, oh, I'm very humble, I'm very fallen, very humble. You have nothing, you have no knowledge, no abilities. So one may not have anything in his hand. He doesn't have any good qualities. He doesn't have any abilities. He doesn't have any talents. He doesn't have any influence. He doesn't basically have anything except eyes and ears and nose. And then he acts very humbly, oh, I'm so humble, I'm fallen, I have nothing. He has nothing. There's nothing to be, he has no other choice. He can't be proud even if he tried to be, because he has nothing to be proud of. No beauty, janmaishvarya shruta shribir. He has no, his birth, there's nothing pious or wealthy about him. No janmaishvarya shruti shri, no knowledge, strength, wealth, high birth, high gotra, nothing. Zero, zilch. Zilch. But then he's humble. But then Sanatana Goswami says, in spite of possessing all good qualities, one who considers himself wretched and incompetent and fallen, this is dainya, humility, dainya bhav. It is only humility that attracts the mercy of Bhagavan and makes a person a worthy recipient of Krishna's mercy. Pretentious humility is inimical to bhakti and is always to be abandoned. That means a false show of humility. Like sometimes people say, oh Prabhu, and they're very humble, but then as soon as any slightest disturbance comes or a little bit of agitation their way, they immediately explode and blow up like a tornado. Outward, oh yes, but this is a pretentious, it's false. Because humility is not external. It's something that's happening within, deep within the person. And you may be very humble and externally showing anger or showing, Prabhupada's the most humble person in the world. But when someone tried to disturb his disciples when they were on a Pandal program, then Prabhupada stood up from his asana with his kartals and said, out, jao, out from here. He started swinging his kartals at them like chakra. They were pulling on the sari. Some low-class people were pulling the saris of some of the ladies while they were chanting on the pandal, on the stage, and disturbing them. some low class person. And Prabhupada was very fiery. And sometimes on other pandals, Prabhupada would speak in a very fiery way. Sit down! Enough! You've said enough! You can hear in the lectures someone saying, well, Swamiji, you said in your lecture, yes, do you know this? And Prabhupada is very much aggressive, sounding very aggressive towards this person asking a question from the audience. And the person was obviously quite disturbed person, and quite, in the tone of voice, is very aggressive of this speaker. And Prabhupada was equally aggressive back to him out of his compassion. And then Prabhupada finally says, sit down, you don't know what you're talking about. Sit down, be quiet. When Prabhupada showed that seeming or apparent display of anger, many, many people, and many of the Indian people in the pandal, literally hundreds, if not thousands, got up and left. They said, what is this Swamiji Bhaktivedanta? What is this Swamiji? He's getting angry. He should be shanti, shanti, shanti. Why is he becoming angry? So much aggression. This is not sadhu. This is not sadhu lakshana. This is not proper achara. Because they couldn't understand that the devotee, he's like Hanuman. Hanuman burned down all of Lanka. He's so furious and so aggressive. It was all in the service of Ram. As soon as he returned to Ram's side, he was as calm as anything. Peaceful, calm, collected. So the necessity, service is judged by its necessity. The necessity of the moment may require, but that doesn't mean the person doesn't have the utmost humility. Prabhupada is not a passionate person controlled by anger and displaying outbursts of anger. That display of Prabhupada's so-called anger, aggression, was actually the greatest humility. Displayed the greatest humility because it was to benefit that soul. Because he was continuing to make more and more Vaishnava aparads and aparads to Krishna. So Prabhupada perfectly acted to curb that tendency, to curb that actions, to save that person. Like Shishupal was so offensive and finally he lost everything. And Prabhupada was protecting him. In fact, real humility is not mere external behavior. It manifests from the heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Vimala Vaishnav, Kalyana Kalpataru, Antara Bahire Sama Vyavahar Amani Manadahaba Krishna Sankirtane Sri Krishna Smarane Satata Madhya Rava. With a heart free from duplicity, my outer behavior will correspond to my inner thoughts and feelings. Seeing myself as completely insignificant, I will give respects to others, not seeking honor in return. Always singing the holy name and dancing, I will remain constantly absorbed in remembering Krishna's pastimes. Sri Krishna Smarani. So this is the end of verse 19. And this whole discussion in this purport was to try to understand some of the heart of Rupa Goswami in this verse, which is explaining Kinkarabhav, the mood of a Kinkari, the mood of a surrendered maidservant of Srimati Radharani, or the mood of one who is aspiring to attain the eternal service of Srimati Radharani. How much humility is there? How much Dainya Bhav, Utkanta Bhav, hankering, yearning, humility, and feeling desperate and some grief. O Devi Gandharvika, today in utter desperation, I throw myself on the ground like a stick. Filled with great distress, I implore you with a choked voice to be merciful to this fool and count me as one of your own. So this is a petition. There's petition, submission, permission and admission. First we file our petition and then we're examined. by the examiners, the examining board. We file the petition and the examining board examines our petition and looks, is there sufficient submission? And if there is proper submission, then you're granted permission. Right? When permission is granted, then you're given admission to the service of Radharani. So all these prayers are to help us forming our petition. I remember there was one song when I grew up called Petition the Lord with Prayer. It was sung by a rather diabolical group. And they said the opposite. You cannot petition the Lord with prayer. This is their idea, these asuras in this song. You cannot petition the Lord with prayer. But our acharyas say, you can petition the Lord with prayer. In fact, we should petition the Lord. We should approach the Lord with prayer. Vandanam. It's one of the Navavita Bhakti. It's one of the limbs of devotion. Vandanam. Praying to the Lord. Petitioning the Lord. Oh, please have pity on me. Have mercy on me. And that's found in every religious tradition. Every religious tradition. The followers of that religious tradition, Christian or Hindu or Muslim, they all have this concept of petitioning the Lord with prayer. You must have heard the Jesus Prayer. The Christians have what they call the Jesus Prayer. O Jesus, have mercy on me. O Jesus, have mercy on me. So it's a petition, begging, humbly, with great humility. So this is Rupa Goswami's humble petition at the lotus feet of Radharani. He's forming the petition. If we don't know how to phrase the petition, if we don't know how to write the prayer, if we don't know how to formulate the right words to approach Radharani, because she's a very big person, and we may be hesitant or shy or unaware of how to approach her, what are the proper words to use when addressing such a great person? Because in social intercourse, when one is writing a letter to someone, or approaching a big person, speaking to a big person, there is a protocol. There's a proper language to be used. Your Highness, or you go into a court of law, and the judge comes out, they say, I don't know what they call the judge, His Highness or something. What? Your Lord. What do they say?
Your Highness, your Lord, the judge,
so-and-so. So what words could be used to approach Srimati Radharani? How could we approach her? Oh, Radha, be nice to me. All right, that's something from your side. But Rupa Goswami, he's giving us a very particular language, which is full of devotion, pure devotion, and full of realization. His language, the language of Rupa Goswami's prayers, is full of devotion. It's full of realization. It's full of siddhanta, which means truth, the highest truth. And most importantly for us, his prayers are full of mercy, Vaishnav Kripa. So when we chant his prayers or recite his prayers or any of the prayers of the Goswamis, then we receive this devotion, this realization, and most importantly, this mercy. Their mercy comes through their teachings and through their prayers. So when we recite their prayers, their stutis and stavas and astakams, the mercy is flowing. With or without giving any false shruti. If they give a false shruti or they don't give a false shruti, the mercy is flowing. What is a false shruti? False shruti is the fruit of chanting this prayer, the fruit of hearing this prayer. And generally, aside from already the mercy is built-in mercy. If you get a car, automatically, it's built into every car that every car has seat belts. It's not an option, it's built-in, it's not an extra. So built-in every prayer is the Vaishnav Kripa, the mercy of the author. It's not an extra that you have to pay for, it's already there. So the mercy is already there in every prayer. However, sometimes to give an additional jolt or an additional blessing of mercy, They include what is called a Shruti Phal. Shruti Phal is the concluding verse. It's an Ashtakam, Radhika Ashtakam, Yugal Kishore Ashtakam, Radhakund Ashtakam, Shamakund Ashtakam. So Ashtakam means eight verses. But there's nine. Just like Vishnu Chakravarti gave the Guru Ashtakam. But there's actually nine verses. And ninth verse is most important. Acharyas even go as far as to say is, if you chant the Ashtakam without the Phal Shruti, you don't get the Phal of the Ashtakam. I've read this. Acharyas say, that's how important the Phal Shruti is. Because that's the that's the boon, that's the benediction. That's what it's all about, to get this Phal, to get this result, to get this fruit. So when we chant the Guru Vashtakam, then there's the Phal Shruti, the ninth shloka. Srimad Guru Vashtakam Etaru Chai Brahma Maharti Padati Prayatnat Yastena Vrindavan Anatha Sakshat Sevaivya Labhya Janasanta Eva. Anyone who chants this very beautiful prayer, glorifying the spiritual master during the Brahma Muhurta hour, he will attain the direct service, Sakshat Seva, of the Lord of Vrindavan. Vrindavana Nath, Sakshat Seva Labhyate. He will attain the direct service. That jana, that living entity, will attain the direct service of the Lord of Vrindavan. Vrindavanath, Radhanath, Shamsundar, Gopinath, Madhav. So that's the Phal Shruti. Every day we sing samsara. So there it's very clear in these ashtakams, when the ninth verse is there, when the Phal Shruti is there, it's very clear that when you read that Phal Shruti, that Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das or Narottam, etc., Vishnath, they're telling, oh, anyone who chants this beautiful ashtakam, he will attain a direct darshan of Radha and Krishna, he will become a member of the entourage of Radha and Krishna, he will attain the direct service of Radharani, he will attain the eternal residence on the bank of Radhakund, and attain the eternal service of Radharani. All these blessings, all this mercy is coming from the author, from the Parishad, the eternal associate of the Lord. So much fortune. So that indicates that in each one of these ashtakams, there's so much mercy, so much devotion, so much realization, so much siddhanta. All these attributes are in every prayer of the acharyas. So when we read these prayers, we get devotion, and we get mercy, and we get siddhanta, and we get their realizations enter our heart, and they become the substance of our realizations. And they give us, their realizations become our realizations. And what we're most interested in is their mercy, kripa karo, Vaishnav kripa karo, because it is only by mercy alone that one attains bhava. It's called kripa siddhi. Without mercy, it's impossible to attain bhava. Even if you do sadhana, it says you can attain bhava by kripa siddhi or sadhana siddhi. You've read this in Nectar Devotion. Sadhana siddhi, kripa siddhi, you can attain bhava. And bhava and prema are just two sides of the same coin, mature and immature. So, but when you consider, if you examine the sadhana siddhi leading to bhava, you can understand that, alright, you do your sadhana, but unless, while you're doing your sadhana, unless there's some Vaishnav kripa on your head, you don't get the mercy, you don't get the bhava. It's not that you sit in your room and do sadhana all day. Somehow, some mercy must come from the Vaishnavas. Because how did you do sadhana to begin with? How did you get on the line of sadhavartmanavartate? How did you get on the line of bhakti marg without kripa? So basically what Rupa Goswami is saying, the only way to attain bhava and prem, the only way to attain devotional perfection is kripa siddhi. But this means kripa siddhi along with sadhana. Because the definition Prabhupada gives is, generally we do sadhana, then we attain perfection. We do sadhana, and when we get kripa, we attain perfection. But the analogy he gives is kripa siddhi is when you don't do, the definition is, kripa siddhi is when you don't do any sadhana, you don't do any practice, and you get perfection. You get, Krishna just gives you the mercy, bhav, and prema. And then the analogy is, like someone who goes to school. They work very hard in school, and they study so hard, and they please all the teachers, and the teachers are pleased with them, and they learn the lessons nicely, they pass the grades. And then by the favor of the teacher, they receive the knowledge. By the favor of the teacher, they get the ability to pass the test. By the favor of the teacher, they attain comprehension and understanding of the subject matter. And although they take the test and they do the studies and they pass the grades, ultimately, even there, it's by the favor of the teacher. But at any rate, that it said, this is Sadhana City. You go to school and get a degree. And Kripa City means you don't go to school, you don't study anything, and you don't meet any teachers, but somehow you get what is called an honorary degree. Oxford, you write some book called Secret Teachings of the Vedic Literature, or Secret Teachings of the Vedas. You write this book. And then Oxford University decides that this is the best contribution to Hinduism that's ever been written. So who has written this book? Oh, we want to give him an honorary degree in literature, or Hindology, or Hinduism. So he didn't even go to college, didn't get any degree. But Oxford University recognized him and gave him a degree, because it was literary output. So this is called Kripa City. He didn't go to school, didn't take any tests, but he got the degree. So this is what Prabhupada tells in Nectar of Devotion. But the way I see it, and the way I understand it, that actually the only way to attain perfection is by Kripa, by Siddhi. If you look deep into the point. You attain perfection, Bhava and Prem, by mercy, but there must be endeavor. And this is the story of Yashoda and Krishna. This is Damodar Leela. In Kartik month, this happened on Pratipat. Either Amavasya or Pratipat. This is the day of Damodar Leela. Some people say Amavasya, some other people say Pratipat. In Gokul. Govardhan Leela was also on Pratipat, but that was later. That was in Vrindavan. But in Gokul and Pratipat, in the Kartik Maina, on that day, the day after Amavasya, then Krishna broke the pot, and then that whole Leela went down. He was tied up. But in that Leela, it shows Kripa and Sadhana. Sadhana and Kripa are there. That the Sadhana was the endeavor of Yashoda. But she couldn't bind Krishna without his Kripa. And two fingers too short. One represents her Sadhana, one represents the Kripa. You know the story. So when Krishna gave his mercy, then she could bind him. So we do our sadhana, our endeavor. But that's not enough. There must be Kripa must come. And this is a purport, they say. When the Kripa comes, then the perfection is there. You can bind Krishna if he lets himself be bound. Otherwise, he's not so easy to bind. He can manifest so much love and so much crying and so much endeavor and so much sadhana. You think Yashoda doesn't have love for Krishna? And knowing she endeavored so much and so much pure love, but still it wasn't enough to bind Krishna. He had to sanction it. Yeah, alright, I sanction it. You can bind me. Prema Sambandha. I am bound by your prema. So we are trying to bind Krishna with our prema seva, with our bhakti seva, by our endeavor, by intensity, by our crying, by our tears, by our work, our seva. But that's not enough. It's not enough for perfection. Krishna must say, alright, because he doesn't want to be bound by anybody. He tests us. He tests us. Are you sincere? Is your sincerity transparent? Is your sincerity transparent, all the way, clear all the way to the core? Is there any dirt here? Is there any film here? Any covering here? Any veneer? Is there any veneer over your sincerity? Any covering? And if it is, I must remove it and I withhold myself from you. I stay slightly in the background. Seen but unseen. Felt but unfelt. Perceived but unperceived. And when everything becomes pure, everything becomes transparent, then I grant my mercy. Yes, now bind me. Jiva Bhagavan Prem Sambandha. Forever. I am yours forever now. I am yours forever. You have bound me in your heart, and I bound you in my heart, and we are inseparable. Nothing. Nothing can separate us now. We are living in a timeless realm of divine love. You and I. Forever. This is Krishna Prema. So we'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Manchakobatrubhyascha kripasindhubhayavacha tinam vamiva vaishnavinam.